You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church, located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to Living by the Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Let's all say this together. Heavenly Father, we receive the word with meekness. We thank you that we have ears to hear. We have eyes to see. We have a heart of good ground. We have a mouth to boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Our minds are being renewed to the will, plan, and purpose of God. We thank you that we are doers of the word, not hearers only. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is here to magnify and to glorify Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to James chapter 4. Last week we talked about glorifying God with your spirit and your body. Amen. We're going to continue along those things, but I'm going to talk specifically to you about four things, four blessings, four ways that God will bless us. Amen. Or I'm going to say, four benefits of submission to God's authority in your life. And there's many benefits, amen. There's unlimited benefit that you get from having a submitted heart. But I'm going to talk to you about just four of them, four things that you can expect in your life when you submit yourself to God. And we're going to begin at James chapter 4. Look at verse 6. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The reason why James is talking to them like that is because if you go back to verse 1, they had a lot of fighting and a lot of internal turmoil going on in the church. Verse 1 says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture say it in vain? The spirit that dwells in us lusted to envy, but he gives more grace. So actually what Paul is telling them, they had a lot of things going on that wasn't right. And they were praying, but their motives wasn't right in their praying. So actually this church had kind of got off a little bit. Their motives wasn't right. They're asking for things, not receiving. And, you know, when you're trying to serve God with a religious spirit, actually it got religious. And Paul said, what you need to do is humble yourself. He said, you don't need to be laughing in a situation like this because ain't nothing funny. He said, it ain't funny when the church fighting. That ain't nothing for you to be celebrating about. So he said, humble yourself in the sight of God and he'll lift you up. Then he said, don't speak evil of one another. That was the next verse right there. So, I mean, they had basically, this church congregation had turned internal on one another. They lost their focus of winning souls and things like that. Now they're just fighting one another. Inward fighting. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, but I just want you to understand the background. Why would he say that? That's the reason. So what he says here, he says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. See, they resisting the devil. I mean, they're trying to do things and want to know, you know, why we got all these problems here. He said, if you'll submit to God, you can resist the devil. You can't resist the devil if you're going to fight and war among yourself. So he says, God gives more grace. Wherefore, he gives more grace. And he said, God opposes the proud. God has actually set himself in opposition against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Amen? Everybody say more grace. More grace. So you can have measures of grace working in your life. You can have more grace or you can have less grace working in your life. Depends on the decisions and the choices that you make. The choices that you make and the decisions that you make about your life are going to determine the level or the measure of grace that you're walking in. And I think that more grace is better than less grace. Amen. 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 Remember Paul writing to the church, he said, don't frustrate the grace of God. That means don't do anything to cut the grace of God off. Don't shorten the grace or don't limit the grace of God in your life. And so he gives you the key. What's the key to actually having more grace in your life? Well, in verse number 7, he says, submit yourself therefore to God. Anytime that you submit yourself to God, you create a door or a window for God to bless you with more grace. How many of y'all know what humility is? Humility is not having an exalted opinion of yourself. I say humility is being able to see yourself in line with the Word of God. I don't think no more of myself than what the Word says, but I don't think any less of myself than what the Word says. I see myself right in line with the Word. If the Word says I'm more than a conqueror, then that's what I am. You understand? If the Word says I'm a king and a priest unto God, that's the way I see myself. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being cocky. I'm seeing myself in line with the Word. He always calls me to triumph, so I can always see myself victorious. I'm not being arrogant and haughty and puffed up when I say things like that. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm just bragging on what God has already said that's true concerning me. So to walk in humility, real humility, is really just to get in agreement with God. Amen. It means to bring your thinking in line with the heart and mind of God. Amen. That's what humility is. And so he says that God gives grace to the humble. What is pride? Pride is the absence of humility. That's all pride is. It means you don't have no humility. It means you can do it on your own. You don't need God's help. You don't need no outside assistance. That's what pride is. Pride is a selfish, independent spirit. You know, it's a kind of attitude and it's the attitude that you don't need God or that you can do it without God and God's not really necessary. That's pride. Okay? But he said God gives more grace to the humble. Amen? So every time you humble yourself, I'm going to tell you there's grace that's made available to you. And grace is more than just God's unmerited favor. It is favor. Amen. Everybody say grace is favor. But grace is much more than just favor alone. Grace is the strength of God released in your life. Grace is the strength of Christ that's made available to you that enables you to do what you couldn't do in your own strength. Grace is what takes you beyond your own human limitations. Amen? How many of y'all would like to do something beyond your limitation? Well, when you get over into the grace of God, you can actually do more than what really one man can even do in his own strength. The key here is submission to God. He says, submit yourself therefore to God. Submit. Now, what does that word submit mean? Let me just tell you a few things that it means here. Submission to God. When he says submit to God, that means to submit to God's authority in your life. That means that you place yourself under God, not above God. Y'all understand not being above God? That some people think they're more than God. When you think you don't need God, you put yourself above him. Amen. But it's also not putting yourself equal with God. Say, me and God on the same level. No, I'm his child. But I understand that there's an honor and a glory that I got to give to God. I can't treat God like I treat another human being. You understand? Because God is not a human being. To submit to God also means to submit to his delegated authority. Amen? I mean, y'all know we learned that there's freedom in what? Submission. There's bondage in what? In rebellion. There's freedom in submission. There's bondage in rebellion. Rebellion always leads to bondage. Submission to God always leads to liberty. Amen? We got to learn that. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Submit means to arrange under. It means to subordinate. It means to subject or to be put in subjection. It means to subject oneself or it means to obey. It means to submit to one's control. It means to yield to one's admonition or advice. If I submit to some advice that you give me, or say, if you say, I got something I want to share with you, and you speak into my life, you give me some advice or some counsel, and I say, you know what, I'm gonna apply that to my life. What did I do? I just submitted to that. I came under that, and I said, okay, I'm gonna apply that to my life. That's the way you got to be with God. When God show you you're doing things wrong, you know, either I can rebuke you or flatter you. Which one would you prefer? Would you prefer me to flatter you or to rebuke you? The Bible says that open rebuke is better than what? Secret love. So God is not going to flatter us. Thank God he ain't gonna just flatter us, you know, just tell us things we want to hear. You know how you flatter somebody? How many of y'all ever flattered somebody? Because you know what? People flatter people for their own advantage. You flatter people when you want something in return. God loves us, and he will correct us when we are not doing what's right. You know, I always tell, like, when we have guest ministers come in here, I tell them this here. They say, well, Pastor, is there anything I shouldn't preach on? A lot of them ask you that. Is there anything you don't want me to minister on? I say, reprove, rebuke, exhort. Amen. Well, if I need some medicine, if you got to rebuke me, rebuke me. You come in, you sense something ain't right in here, don't leave me like you found me. Don't tell me you love me and then leave me like you found me and say, boy, that boy, he on the wrong road, but I ain't opening my mouth. I ain't telling him nothing. Submission means to yield to one's admonition or advice. It means to obey or to be subject. It's a Greek military term. Listen to this. Submission is a military term. It's a Greek military term, which means to arrange in a military fashion under the command of a leader. We can all understand the military. When they say submit, you submit, right? And that means that there is a chain of command. And when an order is given, as long as that order is lawful, in a non-military use, it is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. I'll say it again. In a non-military use, it is a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So when the Bible says here, submit to God, it's talking about us having an attitude of giving in to God, cooperating with God, assuming responsibility, and carrying the burdens and things that God would lay on our heart. You know, the assignment The burden, I call the burden an assignment that God gives you. So it's a you yielding yourself to what God wants and putting what you want secondary. Amen? It's not standing up with your little flag saying, nope, it's going to be this way or the highway. No, when you submit to God, that means that you come under his authority. You come under him. That means you lay aside what you want and you do what he wants. Amen? You come under him. It's voluntary. There ain't nobody in this room here that God going to make you submit. He could, but he choose not to. He ain't going to make you submit. He'll tell you that you need to. You know, the Bible says, somebody says, oh, Lord, please humble me, Lord, humble me. And the Lord turned around and said, no, humble yourself. You got to humble yourself. That's something you got to do. See, it's taking responsibility. You know, I see that God says, me to humble myself, then I've got to do that. That's what I've got to do. My part is to submit. My part is to humble myself. And then God says, when you do, when you meet the requirements of that, when you fall in line with that command that I just gave you, like a military order, when you do it, then I'm going to release blessing in your life. It happens. It's so much blessing so that not only does it affect the relationships that you're involved in a church setting, but also there's so much power released in your life that not only is there blessing released in the congregation among one another through fellowship with each other, when you submit to one another, because the Bible tells us to submit to each other, that means that we should always maintain a teachable spirit and never get to a point where you can't tell me nothing. I'm the pastor of this church, but you can talk to me. If you think I'm doing something wrong, you can talk to me, but you got to do it in the right way. So much power is released in your life that he says, now you can resist the devil. When you fight one another, you ain't thinking about no devil. Right? If you're at odds with somebody else and y'all, you got it going on, you can't stand one another. I don't want to sit by her in church. I don't want to sit by him. I ain't shaking his hand. I ain't hugging him today. If he sat on this side, I'm sitting on the other side. I know that's not going on in this church. It ain't happening here. But this good preventive medicine, see. Amen? Because there's a good church here. Man, we love one another in this place. I'm so glad God's given me the opportunity to pastor such wonderful people because y'all are great. We just don't have that undercurrent. Not that I know of. Amen. I'm not going to say the devil ain't going to try to stick his head up somewhere and try to find a weak link somewhere and say, oh, I can use this person here to create a mess. No, I think that we're growing up, God's growing us up, and we're strong. We recognize stuff like that. And because we're submitted to God and because we're submitted to authority in our life, we have the power to resist the devil, and he will run. Amen. Do you see that the devil, you know who the devil run from? He run from submitted people. The devil don't run from a rebel. He don't run from a rebel. He look at your life and say, you're in rebellion. You ain't even submitted to God. You going to tell me what to do? He ain't going nowhere. Because you yielding to him, he actually done got you. He taking you, he got you captive. And you can't resist him. But he runs when he finds somebody that's submitted to God's authority. There's a grace and an anointing that God puts on that person's life, that when they square off at the devil and begin to rebuke him, he have to run. He runs. See, he runs from submission. He runs from a person that's submitted to authority, that's submitted to God. The devil runs from him. You know why? Because that's the one thing that caused him to fall, was his lack of submission to God's authority. And when he look at one of us and see us walking in that, I don't know if it reminds him of what he did wrong or what, but the Bible says that he runs in terror. He runs just like a dog behind him. How would you run if a big dog got behind you? You went outside there tonight and you were getting ready to put the key into the door and you heard some go, rrr. And if you moved a little bit, they go, rrr. I bet you'd be stiff like a board, wouldn't you? We had some bad dogs growing up, didn't we, Twain? I mean, we had Pop on one side, he had Mac. Mac had to be chained. And when Mac got out, everybody just sound the horn. Everybody, you just holler, Mac's out! Everybody go run for cover until they get Mac back under control. Then on the other side, they had Uncle Wright had Pearl. Pearl and Mac. I think they were brothers and sisters. They were some bad dogs. But when they got out, everybody fleed. Everybody ran and said, you don't want to be caught by Mac. I'll just try and give you an idea of what it means to flee. It means to be terrified. It means to get away because you feel like there's going to be some bodily harm. You know why the devil runs? Because he don't want to be hurt. Do you know the anointing hurts him? If it didn't hurt him, he'd just stay there and take it. It must do something to him. If he's going to run in terror, it must hurt him in some way. So the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil. That means to oppose him, stand against him. There ain't not one scripture in the Bible that tells you to run from the devil. There's not one scripture in the Bible that tells you to be afraid of the devil. You understand? And we grew up scared of the devil. Ooh, don't say that. Don't say that. I remember I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, I will not have the flu. I said, ooh, the devil going to get him none. He done said, what ain't going to happen, boy? How can he say that? How he know? How he know what he going to get and what he ain't going to get? I didn't understand. I didn't understand faith. When you submit to God, you have the authority to resist the devil. God's authority is released in your life to the degree that you're submitted to his authority. When you submit to his authority, then his authority is released in your life against your enemies. It's not you talking then. Guess what? You're backed up by a higher power. See, there's people in the world in a natural sense have authority. Right now, a fire marshal could come in here and order us all out of here. Couldn't he? We'd have to submit to his authority or go to jail. He could come in through that door right now and say, look, everybody out of the building. He didn't even have to tell you why. I just demand that everybody leave the premises now. Leave immediately. And he got the authority to do that. And not only that, he got the power of the state of Louisiana behind him. You see what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Amen. So one of the first things that we have to do, and we're talking about submitting to God, you submit to God by placing yourself under his authority and by making the decision that you're going to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Now, there's another scripture we're going to look at. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So this scripture here tells me, you know, I can submit to God when I understand that my life is not my own anymore. Everybody say, I've been bought with a price. That's right. Everybody say, I've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus was used to buy my redemption. Amen. Jesus shed his blood so we could be free, so we could be redeemed from the curse of the law. The Bible says that God purchased us with his own blood. When you realize that your life is not your own anymore, you can submit to God. And you say, God, I place my life in your hand. You know, you can't even get saved without that. Unless you submit to God, you can't be saved. You have to submit to his authority and say, I believe what you did through Christ. You did it on my behalf for me. I submit. My life is not my own. My body is now yours. Everybody say, my body belongs to God. Do you know that your mind is a part of your body? Your mind does too. The Bible says we're to present our body to God and have our minds transformed. Amen. Our minds have to be renewed with the word of God. Amen. Now, when we talked about being submitted, how do you glorify God in your body? That means you submit yourself, submit yourself to God. How you submit yourself? That means every faculty that you have, you submitted to God. That means you submit your eyes to God. Everybody say, my eyes are submitted to God. What does that mean? It means that you're not going to look at things that are unholy, unclean, that are not pure. That you are not going to set wicked things before your eyes. That means you're not going to meditate on things that you know is wrong. Amen? That means you're not going to look at pornography. You're not going to look at, you know, people doing things that are wrong. You're not going to sit there and entertain yourself with things that people that are doing that's not right. Amen? I'm not going to look at it. So you submit your eyes to God and say, God, my eyes are yours. So, Lord, give me eyes that see. I want to be able to see like Jesus sees. And then you submit your ears to him. Amen. Everybody say, my ears are submitted to God. Yeah, that means that you're going to watch what you hear. You're going to be careful what you hear. That means you're not going to let other people just dump things in your ears that are going to mess your spirit up. Submit your ears to God. It means that you're not going to stand around when they're telling dirty jokes. You're not going to sit there and just listen to them curse. I told somebody one time, I said, now look, if you're going to stand there and cuss, I'm going to speak in tongues. If you can cuss and bawl out there in the open, I ought to be able to speak in tongues too then. You glorifying your Father, give me the equal time. Glorify my Father. I bet you start speaking in tongues, I bet they stop cursing. But you got to be careful what you do with your ears. What about your mouth? Is your tongue submitted to God? Or do you say anything that hits your mind? Some people talk about, I just speak my mind. The Bible says that a fool will utter all his mind. Only a fool will say everything hit his mind. Because you know everything hit your mind ain't of God. And if you're going to speak everything come across your mind, you a fool. You speaking life and death at the same time. So you submit to God. See, submit. Everybody say submit yourself. When you're talking about being submitted to God, you're talking about your eyes being submitted, your ears being submitted, your mouth being submitted. That means that you bring your tongue under subjection to the word of God. That means I'm only going to speak what God's telling me to say. That's what Jesus did. I only speak those things that I hear my Father saying. Amen. Amen. Didn't he say it? It wasn't. His tongue is submitted. Right? I only do those things that please my Father. That means his whole being submitted to God. I'm only going to do what pleases the Father. Amen? That means your hands have to be submitted to God. That means that you're not going to touch unclean things. That you're not going to get involved in business deals that you know that's dishonest and illegal. You're not going to put your hand on it. You understand? I'm not going to put my hand on another man's wife or some woman that's not even married. And nowadays you got to say, and some other man either. We got a generation of people coming up bisexual. They don't care. They're deceived. And they're walking in darkness, but you can't touch the unclean thing. The Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. And I know David said, Lord, give me clean hands and a what? A pure heart. So you got to keep your hands clean. Don't touch what's unclean. Amen. Talking about submitting yourself to God. This is what it's all involved in. What about your feet? Are your feet submitted to God? Are your feet swift to run into evil? Are you quick to get to a conversation that you know they're gossiping about somebody? You know something going down wrong at this place here, but you say, well, I'm going in here. Are your feet quick to take you there? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, ponder the path of your feet. That means consider well your goings. Consider well where you're going. Don't let your feet take you places. I'm going to tell you, many people have lost their life, cut their life off short because they was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Their eyes wasn't submitted, their hands wasn't submitted, and their feet wasn't submitted. You got to stay submitted with all your faculty, your mind. What about your mind? I'm going to tell you, this is where it all started right here in your mind. Is your mind submitted to God? Or do you allow the devil just to bombard you with thoughts and you don't ever say nothing? Do you know that every time the devil shoots a thought into your mind, it's like a flaming missile that he shot? Right? Those thoughts from the enemy are not meant to entertain you. Although they might have some entertainment value, but that's not their purpose. Their purpose is not to entertain you. Their purpose is not to thrill you. Their purpose have one thing in mind, to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He may put a thought of pleasure in your mind. You might think about somebody in the wrong way, and it gratify your flesh and make you feel good thinking like that. But I'm going to tell you, that thought was not designed to please you. It was designed to kill you, to destroy something in your life. It was designed to steal,